Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It is Friday. Someone say TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Truly, it's Sabbath, Shabbat Shalom tonight. Don't forget to get your rest. We're all going to need it. I want to begin today's broadcast. There's a lot of headline news going on right now, and there are things that we could talk about and discuss that I think are very important to the moment. So I want to begin with an article before I get to the passage of scripture. This is very unusual. Billy Graham founded Christianity Today. In other words, there's a ministry called Christianity Today, founded by Billy Graham, calls for removal of Donald Trump from office. And here's the article. The editor-in-chief at Christianity Today, a publication founded by evangelist Billy Graham, asserts President Donald Trump should be removed from office. Mark Galley writes that while Democrats have had it out for Trump from day one, a reality that places his impeachment under a cloud of partisan suspicion, nevertheless, the president of the United States attempted to use his political power to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the president's political opponents. That is not only a violation of the Constitution, more importantly, it is a profoundly immoral thing to do. So Galley states Americans are actually not shocked by this behavior because Trump has dumbed down the idea of morality in his administration. He wrote, he has hired and fired a number of people who are now convicted criminals. He himself has admitted to immoral actions in business and his relationship with women, about which he remains proud. His Twitter feed alone, with his habitual string of mischaracterizations, lies, and slanders, is a near-perfect example of a human being who is morally lost and confused. Well, Galley parts ways with Trump's many evangelical supporters whom, he says, boast of the president's Supreme Court and other federal court nominees, as well as his steady defense of religious freedom and his efforts to bring unemployment to an all-time low. Well, nothing positive Trump has done or accomplished, however, he says, is of any consequence given what he claims is the president's grossly immoral character. He said, we believe the impeachment hearings have made it absolutely clear, in a way the Mueller investigation did not, that President Trump has abused his authority for personal gain and betrayed his constitutional oath. The impeachment hearings have illuminated the president's moral deficiencies for all to see. This damages the institution of the presidency, damages the reputation of our country, and damages both the spirit and the future of our people. None of the president's positives can balance the moral and political danger we face under a leadership of such grossly immoral character. Now, character. So Galley likens his commendation of Trump's to statements Christianity Today made about former President Bill Clinton. Now, before I get on with the rest of that article, what I would like to do is go now to what the son of Billy Graham had to say about this whole situation. And there's a little article right here I want to get into. This is what Franklin Graham is saying about this Christianity Today editor. He says, "My father would have been disappointed." Franklin Graham fires back at Christianity Today's elitist liberal call for President Trump's removal. Now, isn't that interesting? The elitist liberal call for President Trump's removal. So evangelist Franklin Graham has responded to a fiery editorial calling for President Trump's removal from office posted online Thursday by Christianity Today, a publication founded by his father. Editor-in-chief Mark Galley, who we just read about, was posted the editorial just one day after Trump became the third president in United States history to be impeached by the House of Representatives, Galley wrote. "The impeachment of Donald Trump is a significant event in the story of our republic. It requires comment. The president of the United States attempted to use his political power to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the president's political opponents," he wrote. But Galley didn't stop there. He also called out Trump's evangelical supporters, writing, "Remember who you are, in whom you serve. Consider how your justification of Mr. Trump influences your witness to your Lord and Savior. Consider what an unbelieving world will say if you continue to brush off Mr. Trump's immoral words and behavior in the cause of political expediency. If we don't reverse course now, will anyone take anything we say about justice and righteousness with any seriousness for decades to come?" End of quote. Well, in a statement posted to his Facebook page early Friday, Graham, the president and COO of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and of Samaritan's Purse, an international Christian relief organization, wrote his response to the publication, which was founded in 1956 by his father, the late Billy Graham. Graham, 67, noted his father would not have agreed with the publication's stance and would have been very disappointed with it. He also revealed that the late evangelist even voted for the president. Christianity Today, this is what Billy Franklin Graham said, Christianity Today released an editorial stating that President Trump should be removed from office, and they invoked my father's name, I suppose, to try to bring legitimacy to their statements. So I feel it is important for me to respond. Yes, my father, Billy Graham, founded Christianity Today, but no, he would not agree with their opinion piece. In fact, he would be very disappointed. I have not previously shared who my father voted for in the past election, but because of this article, I feel it is necessary to share it now. My father knew Donald Trump. He believed in Donald Trump, and he voted for Donald Trump. He believed that Donald J. Trump was the man for this hour in history for our nation. For Christianity Today to side with the Democrat Party in a totally partisan attack on the President of the United States is unfathomable. Christianity Today failed to acknowledge that not one single Republican voted with the Democrats to impeach the president. I know a number of Republicans in Congress, and many of them are strong Christians. If the president were guilty of what the Democrats claimed, these Republicans would have joined with the Democrats to impeach him. But the Democrats were not even unanimous. Two voted against impeachment and one voted present. This impeachment was politically motivated, 100% partisan. Why would Christianity Today choose to take the side of the Democrat left, whose only goal is to discredit and smear the name of a sitting president? They want readers to believe the Democrat leadership rather than believe the president of the United States. Look at all the president has accomplished in a very short time. The economy of our nation is the strongest it has ever been in 50 years. ISIS and the caliphate have been defeated, and the president has renegotiated trade deals to benefit all Americans. The list of accomplishments is long, but for me, as a Christian, the fact that he is the most pro-life president in modern history is extremely important, and Christianity today wants us to ignore that, to say it doesn't count. The president has been a staunch defender of religious freedom at home and around the world, and Christianity today wants us to ignore that. Also, the president has appointed conservative judges in record number, and Christianity today wants us to ignore that. Christianity today feels he should be removed from office because of false accusations that the president emphatically denies. Christianity today said it is time to call a spade a spade. Well, the spade is this. Christianity today has been used by the left to their political agenda. It's obvious that Christianity today has moved to the left and is representing the elitist liberal wing of evangelicalism. Well, in his editorial, Galley not only writes about the alleged charges in which the president stands accused, but he also writes about Trump's morality. He says, the reason many are not shocked is that the president has dumbed down the idea of morality in his administration. He wrote, he has hired and fired a number of people who are now convicted criminals. And so Graham responded directly to this assertion in his statement, and I quote Franklin Graham, is President Trump guilty of sin? Of course he is, as were all past presidents and as each one of us are, including myself, he wrote. Therefore, let's pray for the president as he continues to lead the affairs of our nation. Graham has often defended Trump during. Graham has often defended Trump during his term of office and has called for Christians to pray for the president. According to the New York Times, CT has about 80,000 print subscribers. It is headquartered in the Chicago suburbs. That's Christianity Today, by the way. The Times also noted that Galley is retiring from the publication after the first of the year. He announced his retirement in October. So rather than going on with more of this particular article, I just wanted to bring to your attention once again the confusion that is abounding in our world today. And it is a nonstop reality that there is confusion in every single realm. And this confusion, no doubt, is a cause. The cause of all of this is our collective sin as a nation and as a church and as a humanity upon the face of the earth. Anytime we forsake the Lord, anytime we reject God's commandments, we find ourselves in this mess, right? I mean, it's just the way it always is. And so another thing I wanted to share with you, and I just thought that was pretty interesting news, that a publication like Christianity Today is standing with the left, and it's all designed to bring further confusion to people that are now Christians that were standing in the gap to kind of discredit and to bring this kind of situation into their hearts and minds and maybe delay the process of prayer. So one of the things we need to talk about as well, and I just want to lightly touch on it for now. The other day we were talking about Kim Clement, his prophecy that a friend sent me when they put this prophecy together about Donald Trump and that they would cry impeachment, impeachment, but it would not stand. Well, they did impeach the president, but it probably won't stand when it goes into Senate, but he has the impeachment thing on him. And so for God to really turn that around to confirm that prophetic word by Kim Clement is going to take some real work. But now you have Christianity Today working against that as well. So again, we have to be aware of something. And I have been saying, and I said this on both radio broadcasts the other day, and I think it's true, that regardless of whether or not President Donald J. Trump is at the helm, which if Kim Clement's prophecy is true, he will be, and other people out there like Mark, forgive me, I'm just forgetting his last name right now. When I remember, I'll share with you, the fireman, when he talked about two terms as well. So there's some agreement out there. And regardless of whether he is or not, I believe that what we said on this radio broadcast 2 years ago, and it was in September and October 2 years ago, and I think we reiterated it last September and October, but definitely 2 years ago, when I read to you a series of prophetic words concerning the acceleration of all things. I gave you definitions about what an accelerant is and how everything was speeding up and everything was climaxing and coming to its end. And I shared with you for several weeks about the acceleration of all things. I believe that what God was saying is that the election of Donald J. Trump, president of the United States of America, that he is the accelerant. He is the one that has taken this country by his election, not him personally, but his election has accelerated the division, the schism, the consternation. It has accelerated everything that you see going on in the country, even all this confusion that is swirling around. Obama was in for 8 years, but nothing was accelerated. It was just a slow ebb death. It was a slow death. But now, with President Trump at the helm, we see the acceleration of two forces. And when a unstoppable force meets an unmovable force, right? What happens? When an unstoppable force makes contact with an unmovable force, you have collision. And I believe that God has been telling us, with all these things that are happening, which are important, that the Christian community, God's kids, should not be caught up into the political issue, although we do get, you know, ourselves riled up because we see the injustices and we want justice. But there's a deeper meaning to what's happening. It's not about America. It's not about any of that. What it is a sign to Americans and the rest of the world that the acceleration of everything is happening. What does that mean? Let me read to you what I believe the Apostle Peter would have you and I to know today. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, Peter said, "For as much then," Apostle Peter said, "for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Arm yourself. Listen to me. Arm yourself. Guard yourself. Equip yourself. Arm yourself. Likewise, with the same mind. What mind? Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Arm yourself with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The Apostle Peter is about to give us some very important information about what we need to be doing right now, because even if Donald J. Trump takes the next term in the election, which there's no reason why he wouldn't, for a number, except for a couple of things. Well, who's going to be at the helm of the Great Revolution and the Civil War? This is very important, but I want you to see this, that you and I are called to arm ourselves with the same mind and suffer in the flesh. And when we do, we're ceasing from sin. Verse 2 goes on to say that he no longer, you and I, that's referring to, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So don't live the rest of your life on this earth to the lust of the flesh or to the will of men, but live for the will of God. Why? Verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So they can't figure out why you're being a goody two shoes. They can't figure out why you're not going with the flow. I mean, it's a big party out there. But Peter's saying to the ecclesia, the called out ones, the children of God, you need to know what's happening. And here's what he says in verse 5. Who shall give an account, everybody on this planet is going to give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Now watch this, okay? Verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But, as he's telling them to get themselves cleaned up, to get ready, to live for the will of God, to spend the rest of your life on this earth, not living in the flesh, to the will of men, but live for God. He said, but the end of all things, the end, the expiration of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now, in Peter's generation, his words were absolutely fulfilled. The end of the world that they knew at that time ended. I mean, he wrote this right before the 70 AD event, when Christians and Jews were scattered to the ends of the earth. So Peter knew what was coming. And I believe these words of instruction are for you and I today. And I'm going to prove it to you in just 1 second that this is not just kind of guesswork. I'm going to prove to you that what we're reading right now has much meaning to us today, upon whom the ends of the ends of the ends of the ages has come. And then in, let me read it one more time, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, that's our instruction, and watch, that's our instruction, unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. All right, and there's a lot more instruction to this, but I want to move on to another passage of scripture you're very familiar with, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come, and I believe that time has arrived, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We've heard these verses before. They were all intended and were written for a generation before the 70 AD event. And if you have never heard of the 70 AD event, that is the time what Jesus had prophesied to his generation. It's what the apostles prophesied, that Jerusalem, the temple, would be destroyed, the people scattered to the ends of the earth, they would lose everything. And that happened in 70 AD. To this day, that temple has never been restored. Now, God has built a new temple, and we know that. And that temple is not with mortar and brick. It's you and I. The temple of God is our hearts. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's a spiritual temple that God will dwell in. He doesn't dwell in houses made with hands. He's going to dwell in us. His temple's been under construction for 2,000 years. It began with the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So this holy temple is growing up. Excuse me. This holy temple is growing up and maturing and is near to being completed. And they're going to shout, according to Zechariah, to the grace, to the headstone, grace, grace. So Jesus is the cornerstone, but he's also the headstone. And when he comes and finalizes this temple as the head of it, well, praise God, things are going to change. But now what I'd like to do, and I'll put this all together in just a moment, is I want to go to the book of Jude, the book of Jude. And I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard anybody say, oh, that's Old Testament, or you got to get out of the Old Testament? You really can't understand today by looking through the lens of the Old Testament. Have you ever heard stuff like that? Have you ever heard people say that, you know, that's Old Testament? I have. I've heard it my whole life. I spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. I'm established in the covenant of grace. I'm established in my heart with God's mercy and forgiveness and the cross and the power of the cross and the covenant and the inheritances and being a king and a priest in the kingdom of God and a royal priesthood. I am established in the new covenant. I am established in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm established in the miracle signs and wonders and gifts of the Spirit. I am established in all of the new covenant, but I spend a lot of time in the old covenant because I talk about things today that the prophets would have spoken to. What would the prophets have said? What did Jesus say as a prophet when he looked over Jerusalem and wept? What did the apostles say? And you say, well, that was for their generation. Absolutely. But you cannot tell me that God just cut everything short in the 70 AD event and we've been left whimsically flying around for 2,000 years without any prophetic destiny or understanding. No, the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what God spoke by the prophets in the Old Testament, Christ spoke to his generation in the New Covenant, and the apostles spoke in the New Covenant as well. Even though it wasn't a New Covenant yet when Jesus was speaking, because he hadn't yet gone to the cross and ratified the New Covenant in his blood, he certainly brought the words of the covenant, the New Covenant, the Father's heart, into view. So what is my point? I've heard that my whole life. That's the Old Testament. Those are the law and the prophets. And the law and the prophets and the Psalms have already been fulfilled. No, they haven't. If you really heard what Luke said in chapter 24, he says, everything in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me have been fulfilled. But there's a lot more in the law and the prophets and the Psalms that have not yet been fulfilled or have been fulfilled but yet will be fulfilled again. What am I talking about, right? Well, Jude, there's only one chapter. So Jude, verse 1, right before the book of Revelation. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Sounds like a new covenant people to me, right? So James is talking to the preserved in Jesus Christ. He said, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. What a great blessing. I receive it. So do you. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What's he talking about? The faith that was once delivered to the saints. He's talking about the old covenant. Watch this. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They are ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Who could these people be? Well, James says in verse 5, because of that reality of these uncertain men, these ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and all of that, he says, I will therefore put you in remembrance. New covenant apostle writing to a new covenant people saying, because of what you're going through, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, what is James or Jude doing? He's going back into the old covenant, telling a new covenant people, I'm going to remind you of something you once knew, but somehow you forgot. So I'm going to remind you that the Lord saved the people out of the land of Egypt. And afterward, after he saved them, he destroyed them. Why? Because they believed not. You could read all about it in Hebrews. You could read all about it everywhere. But he doesn't stop there. In verse 6, he says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. He's talking about the fallen angels in the days of Noah. Why is he going to the Old Testament? And he's saying in verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So now he's bringing up Sodom and Gomorrah. He brought up the days of Noah with the fallen angels. He brought up the children of Israel being saved out of Egypt and then being destroyed. Why would a new covenant apostle writing to a new covenant people bring remembrance to their conscience by telling them Old Testament stories if they're invalid and unuseful and have no meaning for today? You can't say that, well, Jude brought it forth to that generation, but that doesn't mean anything. Yes, it did, and it certainly means something today. You cannot read the prophets and discount their message. You cannot look at the events of the Old Covenant and discount. In fact, we're reading right here that the entire Sodom and Gomorrah reality was set for an example to anybody that would follow it, what would happen to them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah in America. Welcome to the days of Lot. Welcome to the days of Noah. Welcome to the days of the people of God that were saved out of Egypt in type and shadow the world that God's going to allow to be destroyed in this dispensation. I mean, come on. Why is he talking about these things? Well, verse 8 says, likewise, all these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, speak and despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Verse 10, but these, he's talking about these brute beasts, right? These defilers. He said, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them. Listen now. Okay, listen, here's the point. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. So Jude is talking about a present people in the dispensation of the church age that were acting a particular way, and now he's describing them by saying they have gone in the way of Cain. In other words, these people today are acting like Cain did. And it goes on to say, they went in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. He's talking about the prophets of prosperity. They're acting the same way that Balaam did, getting a reward for trying to curse Israel. He wasn't able to do it, so he gave the secrets of what you could do to take them down. He's going back to the Old Testament. So they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. You remember Korah? He was present with Moses. Moses was the ordained leadership of God. Korah rose up and said, who is this guy Moses? We could do a better job than him. And that's what you're seeing in the impeachment process right now. You know, you have an elected president, but you have the left that doesn't want him. And so they have a Korah spirit on them. And probably there's going to be a big earthquake that's going to swallow them up. But again, my point is this. Jude is bringing every Old Testament example to bring remembrance to a New Testament people to equip them. All right, but it doesn't stop there. He goes on to say in verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity. Who? The people contending with godly leadership. It's not just in the impeachment process up in Washington, D.C. It's when people contend with God-ordained authority in the churches. He says, these are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withers without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Wow. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What's he talking about? People in the church today. And he's talking about all these Old Testament things. And he says in verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. Wait a second. Enoch prophesied of the days of Noah, didn't he? Yes, he did. But Jude is saying that Enoch also prophesied of these who are in the church who he was just talking about, the spots in your feast of charity. He's talking about the people that are raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Jude is talking about the invasiveness of these people that were coming to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness into the churches. And he says Enoch prophesied of these. But everybody says, well, no, Enoch prophesied of the days of Noah. And he did. But his words are also prophetic to this end time generation and to the generation of Jude. Come on. And then he says that he prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You see, I appreciate and value the word of God that tells me, regardless of 1,000 people saying, get out of the New Testament. How can I, especially in leadership, how could you not allow your congregation to remember these things and just satiate them in all the feel good, tickle my ears, scratch my back, make me feel good, tell me what I want to hear, especially knowing that in the last days they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves having itching ears. so that they will tell them what they want to hear. How can any leadership neglect or forsake the old covenant pictures and realities and events and prophetic words that were spoken? And yet Jude does that in perfection, because people have a tendency to go in the wrong direction. And not until they're established in the Holy Spirit and have learned to be led by the Holy Spirit and walk in the Holy Spirit will they ever really be free from the danger of drifting back into some doctrine that causes all these things. Listen, this is the real deal. This is the Word of God. And now he goes on to say in verse 16, let's go back to 15. He's coming to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. In other words, I'll tell you anything you want to hear as long as you take care of me. And that's going on big time in our world today. And what these guys were talking about in the beginning of the church age, their words carry to the end of the church age. This is the word of God for the church during the church age, the ecclesia, okay? Now he goes on to say, but beloved believers in Christ, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. So in the last time, there's going to be mockers walking after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So what is this? This is the Apostle Jude explaining. If the next time somebody walks up to you and says, you know, you're preaching or you're telling me about these Old Testament events, man, why don't you get into the New Covenant? Take them here. Say, brother, I am in the New Covenant. Sister, I am in the New Covenant. And the New Covenant is a covenant of grace. It's not a God who has changed his mind about the way he's going to deal with things. He told us it would be like the days of Noah. He said it would be like the days of Lot. He gave us warnings about the Korah thing. He gave us warnings about the fallen angels. He gave us warnings about Balaam, the false prophets of prosperity. He gave us all these warnings right here in the New Covenant. So don't concern yourself that I'm reading the Old Testament, looking at what God did, that he literally said these things were set as an example for anybody that would practice them. Now, what does that all mean? Where does this all lead? Where does this all go? Well, what it leads to is we've got to, on this particular Friday, December 20th, 2019, 5 days from Christmas Day, we've got to draw the line. And we have to get our conscience unconfused. We've got to be clear on issues. It doesn't matter who the next president is. And if God has ordained Donald J. Trump to be the president in a second term, to be at the helm, that means he's going to lead the way. We may be leading the way through the next great American revolution and civil war. There's no way the left is going to lay down at this point. You need to understand, and let me be very clear about this. The United States of America is going to suffer the vengeance for what we have done. We have participated and promoted what happened in the days of Lot. We have promoted pornography. We have promoted bestiality. We have promoted pedophilia, transgenderism, homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery. We have promoted, and even knowing that this is going to draw the wrath of God, we've done it along with shedding innocent blood on our land. And so the unwise thing to do is look at Donald J. Trump as the savior of America. No, he's being put in place to bring about the acceleration of the collapse of America. Even though he wants to make America great again, he's not going to make America great again. He's the accelerant to pull it apart, the left from the right. You've got to be clear in your understanding. What side of the day are you living on? Are you in the dark side or the light side? Because you're seeing the fabric of our society being torn, and a mighty pull, a ripping is about to take place. This isn't Donald J. Trump is there and everything's going to remain the same. The economy is going to be great and all is well. No, this is what Dimitri Dudeman said, that there would be internal strife within our nation so terrible that the government will be occupied and preoccupied with trying to quell the violence within, that foreign nations would now see their opportunity. And I believe there are some very powerful foreign nations that are going to want to execute their violence. And I believe that God is actually going to give them the ability to do it, like he did the Assyrians against Israel or the Babylonians against Israel. And I believe you're going to see a combination of Islam, China, Russia, North Korea, four nations from the south. You're going to see it all unwind, because this is the judgment of the United States of America and the judgment of the church in America for allowing it to happen. Yes, God saved his people out of Egypt, but he destroyed them because of their unbelief. Come on. I didn't say it. I didn't write it. I'm just preaching what the Word of God says. I'm a public crier. That's what I do. I'm a public crier. I'm a preacher. That's what I do. And I'm preaching, not my opinion. God forbid. It's not worthy. But the Word of God is very clear. And you need to wake up. Prophetically, you need to wake up and realize that the acceleration has happened in less than 3 years. When we started 2 years ago preaching on the acceleration, the accelerant, we wondered, what is it that's going to cause everything to speed up? It was Donald J. Trump. He's the accelerant to bring about the division. Oh, it was always there, but it was a slow go. If Hillary would have been president, it would have still been slow go. People, the right would have just been lingering around like they did with Obama for 8 years. Believe me. But what's happened by the election of Donald J. Trump, the left showed its true colors and realized. And so there it is, the acceleration. And God is wanting to wake us up. This nation will not go unpunished. But you need to separate yourself to the light, arm yourself with this knowledge to walk in the Spirit, pray, be sober. And whatever God has blessed you with, thank God and live your life in Christ. Yes, but don't get lulled to sleep. All right, so I've said my piece. Did that make any sense to anybody? Huh? Is that helpful to anybody? Well, I'm going to open up the telephone lines. Maybe you have a comment you would like to share. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Was that clear? Is there a comment, a question, something you'd like to say about what we just talked about? Because I'm very convinced about this. The number to call, 818-369-0326. And if I'm wrong, straighten me out. Press 1 on your dial pad if you have any questions or comments. For those of you listening in on Blog Talk Radio, we'd love to hear from you. And we're going to go ahead and take our first call coming in this morning. I'm going to turn on my headsets, going to turn up the volume a little bit. And we're going to take, we've got a number of calls coming in. Praise God. Let's take our first call from Bill, it looks like, calling in. Good morning, Bill. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Pastor. I believe you nailed it on the head regarding the accelerant, and that's what Donald Trump is there for, to accelerate it, not to bring it together, but to accelerate that which God has already put into plan or purposed. And that was fascinating. I think you just nailed it on the head, Pastor. That's all I got to say about that. Good word.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that comment. Again, let's take our next call, 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Good morning. Yes, you're on, Phil. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. This is Phil. I wanted to comment on the news. There was a man in Iowa that stole one of those LGBT flags from a church. He took it to a parking lot, burned it out in front of his strip club, and he got 15 years. 15 years.
Wow.
Talk about justice skewed. I think it's amazing. That just upset me. You know, it upset me enough with the impeachment news, but I had to comment on that.
Well, I appreciate the comment. And this is a time where everything is accelerating. And while the end times are accelerating, it's really important that all of God's children accelerate as well. If there's something God is putting you to do, you've got to do it. You have got to allow the acceleration of the Holy Spirit to quicken in you your purpose for being here. You are certainly not here to be an observer of what's going on. You're here to impact in some way, and you've got to find out what it is you need to be doing and allow for the acceleration of that event to be done. Thank you for that call, Phil. We appreciate it. Let's take our next call coming in from 858-864. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. I am very, very happy to hear that you are presenting a picture of Trump that I think is very true. And he has been ordained by God to expose the deep state and those that have been in operation for the last 70 years against this nation. And it's now being shown to all, for all to see. And so God is using him to accelerate, yes, to fulfill his word in the book of Revelation of what is to be in the very near future. As far as the prophets are concerned in the Old Testament, it is my belief that they have been called, as Jesus said, to speak of him. They prophesy him as who he is to be, the coming of the true and living God in the time of grace. I also believe the prophets were speaking to expose what God does in judgment to those who come against his will. And then these various things that are explained by the prophets is for anyone today to see and understand that things don't change. Men act in the same manner unless they're under grace. And grace is the only answer to the truth of it. The prophets did not grant mankind to take a gun and kill another. God's judgment does that. He judges. He judges by situations of earth catastrophes. And we're about ready for that judgment now. Now, you may say, well, he told the army to kill the other army. Yes. But that is in the Old Testament. In grace, it changes into spiritual warfare. That is my firm belief.
All right, let me ask you a question, and maybe we could break out into this just a little bit. If you were living 260 years ago, whenever it was, my math's a little fuzzy right now, but during the time of the revolution in the United States of America, if you were living, maybe you were a pioneer woman, you were married to a husband that was a pastor, whatever the case is, and the revolution to fight against an encroaching enemy that wanted to take over your freedoms and your home and your land and bring you into captivity and prison. And you noticed everybody around you was saying, man, we need to go out. We need to defend ourselves. We came here for the fresh air of liberty. And now the enemy's coming to take us into captivity. All we're wanting to do is really serve God and live free of that controlling bondage on the other side of the sea. Well, if people were going out to fight, would you have fought during the revolution, or would you have been like in Germany, one of the ladies, the intercessors that stood by praying for the success of the United States of America to beat the Germans so that we weren't speaking Japanese or German? Or would you have just said, would you have told everybody, lay your arms down, don't fire a shot, don't protect anything, let's just let them take over, go into captivity? Obviously, that's God's will. What would your have take been? And I say that with all due respect, by the way.
Yes, I'm sure. The situation of the Civil War, though it looked to be something of necessity, has not changed a thing. We are still in civil war. It took a different position for a time of reprieve, but it did not change circumstances. They have still been affected in the same manner, in the same way as for thousands of years and from this nation forward. But if our forefathers understood spiritual warfare, which is being unleashed for wisdom today, for those who will hear and those will listen, if they understood spiritual warfare and were on their knees praying rather than going into physical war, you and I don't know what would have happened and how God would have granted a greater circumstance and situation to those that laid their life down in prayer, in intercession, and spiritual warfare, but they were not aware. But okay. Now the enlightenment is coming. The Lord is revealing in these last days by His Holy Spirit. It is a pouring out of His Spirit to give knowledge to the church and wisdom to the church how to fight the evil one, because we do not fight flesh and blood, but we fight principalities and spirits in high places in the darkness of this world. So each man to his own decisions on it.
All right. Well, thank you for that comment. And my comment back to that was simple, that, you know, you go back to God, and we just spent all this time reading out of the book of Jude about God being spoken of by Jude to remind the people how God dealt with things in Sodom and Gomorrah, how God dealt with things in the days of Noah. Yes, they were divine acts. And yet that same God raised up the armies of Israel. He chose David, a man after his own heart, to lead the armies of Israel. We know that the apostles carried swords. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation of that. That was not the point today, but it's great conversation. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 479-855. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning to you, Pastor Ken. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm blessed. Yeah, you're bringing up a lot of really excellent points that we all need to think about. And I can almost feel in my spirit some of the people that are listening to it, well, what can I do? I'm just a simple little individual. Well, that you're more than that, and we need to know what we can do. And the only way that we can begin to do the things that we need to do is return our lives back to the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit have reign in our lives to show us our shortcomings, where we need to go ahead and gain strength and power to be able to accomplish the things that are necessary. When we finally do these things, then we will begin to think clearly, hear clearly, and have the faith and the strength and the power to begin to do the things that we need to do. And there are so many things. But any change at all begins with one individual. And it can snowball when it's really sent from the power of God, from the Holy Spirit, and you will be able to accomplish many great things when we finally get ourselves cleaned up and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in us. That's when we will begin to see change all around us, and it can become a great nationwide change only if we listen to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And so, again, the importance of acceleration in the purposes that God has created each one of us for, that we need to do something, because we live in a world that is more transient than ever before. 56 million people have left this planet in the last 12 months, and another 56 million will leave in the year ahead. And we should not live as though we are never going to leave. Rather, we should prepare for what lies beyond the veil of this life in the eternal realms. The end of all things is at hand, and it is imperative that our spirit, soul, and body be aligned with the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. To that, there is no doubt in my mind that we need to be preparing for what is coming down the pike. And so I agree with you, Pastor Ken. It's all about an acceleration of where we are. Now, we broke off into that you're the believer. I'm a believer. And every person on this planet, if we're born again, have an eternal purpose connected to our lives. And maybe it's been laying dormant for years and you've been doing things, but it's not the real purpose of your life. Isn't it time, as my dear brother Denny said on Wednesday night, to bring about the acceleration of that purpose so we're not just waiting around for another year or 2 years? We've got to press in and seek and find, what am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to bring it forth? What am I to leave behind before I leave? 56 million people every year leave this planet. And nobody's going to know whether or not this year we're leaving or not. But if we have a purpose, God will allow us, enable us, empower us to get our job done. But if we're just hanging around, man, I don't think that's the best place to do. And I'm not saying anything else beyond that, but the number to call if you have a question or comment is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. We just got into a conversation of Civil War, Revolutionary War. Would you fight if you would have been in those days? Would you have taken up arms? We in our generation know nothing about these things. We don't know what it is to have the South fighting against the North or the Revolutionary War. We've never seen it. We've never had a day of war on our nation. We've had a 9/11 event, but we've never known what it is to fight in a civil war, what the atmosphere turns into. But everything that we're looking at, every sign is declaring, shouting at us, it's at the door again. A judgment is at the door in the United States. And if we're not convinced, maybe we won't know until the time comes. Maybe people are saying, oh, I would never fight. I'm never going to take up arms. Well, maybe they're going to change their mind when it comes. And maybe people said, I'm ready to go. Maybe they're going to turn to the great intercessors. I don't know. But I think that we better start really preparing, because that's what Peter said to do. He said, get yourself sober, get yourself ready, and be on the watch. Okay, we've got time for one more call if you're out there today. And I think Patricia may have had something else she wanted to share. Patricia Joy, are you there? Do you have something else?
Yes. Just remember, those who live by the sword die by the sword. And God has empowered us with great victory as his army. Learn spiritual warfare. It is the greatest, most wonderful gift God has given.
Amen. All right. Okay. So I get it. Learn spiritual warfare, regardless of what's coming in the physical world. No doubt, because you're going to want to pray by the Spirit to aim straight. I know that's what you're referring to, Patricia. Right?
Right.
All right. You heard it. Pray so that you could aim straight. All right. I'm just messing around. Okay. We're going to get rolling here. It's Friday. And most likely after this weekend, we'll see how it goes. Lord willing, we'll be with everybody on Monday, and we'll be getting closer and closer to that Christmas day. We sure do wish you a time of peace. And remember, genuinely, in the midst of all of this, Christ was born. We don't know what day he was born, but the Savior of the world was born into this earth. Receive him into your heart. You know what I'm convinced of? I'm convinced that the Spirit of Christ, his heartbeat, his mind, his nature is going to guide you perfectly. Allow Jesus to be born again in you. Allow him to take root. Allow him to spread out like a tree. Allow his life, and he'll tell you exactly what to do in the times we're living in. He wasn't there in 70 AD. Warned everybody about the event coming, but he wasn't there, so we don't know what he would have done, right? But we do know what he did do. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and he said he's coming back again. And when he comes, he's coming to judge and make war. And man, oh man, he's not coming as a little lamb. He's coming as a lion. I'd like to roar along with him, and I think you need to find a roar in your life as well. However, Let us learn to suffer from the flesh, to walk in the spirit, and honor God. Honor the King. Honor the Lord. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Hey, it is Christmas time. If you'd like to give a gift to this ministry, this radio, this particular ministry, we would love for you to do that. There's a way you could do it by our website, and you could donate online, or you could give an offering to P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. May God bless you. We'll see you Monday, Lord willing. Until then, shalom. Now, Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A deliverance roundtable discussion right now. God bless. We'll see you Monday.